and to look forward. Of course, those of you who have been here in this church and you followed along our personal testimonies, Abigail and I, you've known that this year and a half has been a quite difficult year. But always we see that when things are difficult, we learn to see the grace of God. And for Paul, even in the most difficult and dire of problems that he had, he came away saying that this was what God answered him. He asked God to take away a thorn in his flesh. We don't know what that is. It could be a physical problem. It could be the problems with churches. It could be, we don't know what the problems are. And I think rightly so, we should not know what the problems are because it applies to all of our problems. And he says, this is what the Lord told me. My grace is sufficient for you. You know, this year we have a number of people that we know are struggling with cancer at the end of this year. You know, we have Aaron's mom, we have friends, and a number of people that have struggled. And in fact, yesterday I was in a funeral for somebody who had died of cancer at the end of this year. And a few weeks ago, somebody who passed away in a stroke that I had to do the memorial service. So at the end of the year, we can look at it and say there's a lot of issues that we may be struggling with. Some of us, very intimately so, our own families. But yet, it is a time where we can recount our blessings. And when we do that, we do see God operating in our lives. We've been looking at a series of encounters that Bible characters have with prayer. And I want to conclude this year with another discussion about it. So let's give this time to the Lord and get ready. Father God, we thank you for all the recorded words in Scripture because it helps us to know and see you operating in the people you love. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So we've been looking at the series that I titled, Can You Hear Me Now? Today's message number 9. Next Sunday, as we begin the year, I want to look at David, also in the same vein, of praying in triumph and praying in celebration to begin the new year. And then we will be studying the epistle to the Ephesians. Now, we've studied a number of different Bible characters, but then we will be actually looking at more theology. And so theology is not the best, it's not the easiest thing for us to do, but nevertheless, we need to go through it because the Bible is very rich in theology. Now, we have gone through 8 Bible characters already. We've looked at King Uzziah, we've looked at Isaiah, we've looked at Moses, who saw God face to face. We saw Jacob wrestling with God. We saw Hannah pleading for a child. And we saw Zechariah, who was serving in the Holy of Holies when an angel appeared and promised a child to him. That would be John the Baptist. And then 2 Sundays ago, we looked at Mary. But we need to look at Joseph today. Because Joseph is also one of the main characters in the scripture. By way of a quick review, there were a number of elements in the appearance of the angel. Zechariah, there was supernatural appearance. The angel appeared, surprisingly. Remember, it's been 400 years prior to this angel appearing where God had revealed himself to anybody. We call it the 400 silent years. And people worship God, but there was no supernatural revelation, no visitation from the Lord until Zechariah and Mary. Of course, there was an initial reaction that they were shocked to find something like this happen. And then we also know the angel said to both of them, do not be afraid. Also, the birth name was given to them. So you will see with Zechariah, you're going to call his name John. With Mary, you're going to call his name Jesus. But not just that, there was a unique lineage in each one of the child. So John the Baptist will fall in the line of Elijah. And Jesus will fall in the line of David. Then we have the question, remember? The question that Zechariah says, how can I be sure? How can I be certain? How can you guarantee that this was going to happen? Now Mary asks the question of how. How can this happen since I'm not married? But of course we know what the result was. For Zechariah, he was sentenced to silence until the baby was born. For Mary, we remember that it was a submission. Now, among the three people in the main characters of this story in our Christmas story, we have Zechariah, we have Mary, we have Joseph. Interestingly enough, for Joseph, among the three of them, had the most appearance by an angel. And we'll look at it later. But now let's look at Joseph's encounter with the angel. In Matthew 1, verse 18, this is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now remember what I said 2 weeks ago. It wasn't the Holy Spirit's sperm impregnating Mary's egg. It was Mary in a borrowed womb. So the conception already happened. So we know that Jesus was fully God. But because he passed through the birth canal and grew up as a child, he was also fully human. Verse 19, Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her publicly. So he decided to break the engagement quietly. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. There you go. And she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet Isaiah. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded and took Mary as his wife. But he did not have sexual relations with her until her son was born. And Joseph named him Jesus. It is very interesting that in this particular situation, for Joseph, the angel appeared, and we can actually go through the same sequence as we did and see what happens. Now, we know the birth process of the three men, about the two men and one woman, Mary, Joseph, and Zechariah. However, we have minimal knowledge as to what happened after both their sons became adults. Tradition tells us that Joseph died before Jesus began his ministry. Zechariah, we have no record after the birth of John the Baptist. But for Mary, we actually see her appear in the book of Acts. And in Acts 1:14, we see this happen. This is after now the resurrection of Jesus. They all met together and were constantly united in prayer, along with Mary, the mother of Jesus, several other women, and the brothers of Jesus. It's interesting that Mary survived Jesus. Of course, we know that it's not just all flowers for Mary. She had to see her son misunderstood. She had to see her son be crucified, but she saw her son resurrect. And she became not just the mother of Jesus, the man, but she also became a disciple of Jesus. Joseph had the most encounters with angels. The other two, Zechariah and Mary, only had one encounter with the angel. Joseph actually had three encounters with an angel. So what we read earlier, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, right? That was the first encounter. There was a second encounter. Remember the wise men? After the wise men were gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, flee to Egypt with the child and his mother. You recall that Herod was very angry when the wise men came looking for a child that would be king. Herod said, he asked the people who were working in his court, and says, is it true? And they looked at the prophecy of Isaiah and they said, yes, true, a son is going to be born to be king. And so, remember, Herod said, you guys go look for the child. When you find him, come back and tell me so I can worship him. But of course, we know that he wanted to kill Jesus. But after the wise men found Jesus, they were told to go another way by the angel. And so Herod got furious and Herod killed all that were under 2 years old boys. We all remember that story. But then the angel appeared a second time and appeared to Joseph and said, now flee to Egypt because Herod was looking for him, for the child. Then the angel appeared a third time. That was when the angel said, okay, now it's time to go back from Egypt. So we have a very rich encounter that Joseph had with the angel. Now, the question then is, does God really speak to us today in the same manner as we see here? I want to submit to you that it's not whether God is speaking or not. The problem is that we oftentimes are not ready to listen. More importantly, we're not ready to obey. Jesus talks about this in a parable. And in this parable, it was an interesting parable. We call this parable Lazarus and the Rich Man. This is not his friend Lazarus, but another Lazarus. Remember, Lazarus was poor, and he was begging at the table of the rich man and just getting table scraps. And both of them died. Jesus says, Lazarus went to the bosom of Abraham, and the rich man was in Hades, at that point we call hell. And then the rich man talked to Abraham and said, look, somebody needs to go tell all my family members. We see that in Luke 16, verse 27. Then the rich man said, please, Father Abraham, at least send Lazarus to my father's home. For I have five brothers, and I want him to warn them so they don't end up in this place of torment. But Abraham said, Moses and the prophets have warned them. Your brothers can read what they wrote. The rich man replied, no, Father Abraham, but if someone is sent to them from the dead, then they will repent of their sins and turn to God. But Abraham said, if they don't listen to Moses and the prophets, they won't be persuaded even if someone rises from the dead. You know, even with Jesus rising from the dead, today we have that assurance of eternal life. We share the gospel, but that does not mean that everybody receives that message. A few days ago, I had the privilege of sharing the four spiritual laws with friends of ours, friends that we've known for a long time. It was very hard to get through because they feel that they're very self-sufficient. So not everybody receives it. But the issue is the following. Is it because God is not speaking? No, God is speaking. The issue is, are we ready to receive? Are we ready to obey? And if we're not ready to receive, we're not ready to obey. It just seems like God is not speaking. Now let's align all three of these characters, Zechariah, Mary, and Joseph. So all three had supernatural appearance of an angel, right? We all read these in the last few weeks. All three had an initial reaction, all two of them except Joseph. Zechariah was shaken and overwhelmed with fear. Mary was confused and disturbed. Joseph had no reaction that was recorded. And we'll get to why he did not have a reaction. All three of them were said, do not afraid. The angel said, do not afraid to all three of them. This would be fearful to see an angel that you've never seen before and no record of it except in the Old Testament. All three were given a birth name in exactly the same manner. All three would be given the lineage. So Zechariah would be the lineage of Elijah. For Mary would be the lineage of David. But Joseph had one extra thing. Joseph was given the following. This Jesus is going to save humans from their sins. And they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Somehow Joseph had a more intimate knowledge of who this baby was going to be. And I believe there's a reason why Joseph was given such. Because Joseph was a righteous man, as we read. And in his righteousness, he was not only just righteous, but he was also very merciful. Let's think about this for a while. In the old times, when you're engaged, we call it betrothed at that time, now we call it engaged. When you're engaged in the Jewish tradition, you are as good as married. But even though you're good as married, because that means you're spoken for, you're not supposed to have sexual relationship with the one you're engaged with. Because there's this time of engagement, of celebration to move into marriage. But now, Joseph finds out that Mary is pregnant. Mind you, Joseph did not find out from the angel that Mary was pregnant. Why? Because, as we read earlier, Joseph was thinking about divorcing her when the angel appeared. So perhaps Mary sent word, or Mary told Joseph this wild tale about an appearance of an angel, about how the Holy Spirit came upon her and how she's not pregnant. But he was a righteous man. The right thing to do was to go out to the town council and tell the leaders of that city or the leaders of that village, this woman that is engaged to me is now pregnant and I never touched her. That would have been the right thing to do. And they would put Mary up to be stoned. He was not just a righteous man, he was a very merciful man. When he heard the story from Mary, he was very confused, but he knew the right thing. The right thing was to divorce her, but also not sully her reputation. So Joseph thought in his mind, let's just quietly call off the wedding. That was when the angel appeared. And so wonderfully, we see this man, whom we don't see a lot of history later, do something that was just amazing. Now, there was a question, right? That Zechariah asked a question. Mary asked a question. Notice that Joseph did not ask any questions. All he did was, he woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded, and took Mary as his wife. That's a disciple. What Joseph did was not natural. He was a righteous man, and this thing was just not right, and this thing was not natural. He did not conform to society. What society told him was to break the engagement publicly, but he decided to break it quietly, and even then he decided to take Mary later. It was an instinct, because the angel had to tell him not to be afraid. He had to just follow. He wasn't comfortable, because he did not have sexual relationship with her until the baby was born. So can you imagine all that time that he was obedient, and how he was just kind of like wondering what was happening? And perhaps that's the best way to look at it. Now, we see the response of Mary, and we see the response of Joseph. If you look at Mary, Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." And then the angel left her. For Joseph, when Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded and took Mary as his wife. I see there's a difference in a way. Both followed, but there's a difference. So I would say for Mary, it was submission. May everything that the Lord has said happen as you said it. For Joseph, it was obedience. Is there a difference between submission and obedience? I think there is. Because in submission, we say, "God, whatever you have given to me, I'm okay." And when we go through circumstances, a lot of times we're just called to submit, because we don't know what happened. We went and prayed for a friend of ours whose husband had cancer a year or so ago, and then this year the wife had cancer, so both were going through cancer. And so when we were praying for her, she asked me a question. She goes, "What can we do?" And I said, a lot of times we don't understand these things. But when we receive something, we learn to submit. Submission is to yield oneself to the will and authority of another. In a way, it's a little more passive, right? Because you just can't do anything except to submit. To yield oneself to the will and authority of another. For Joseph, it was obedience. Obedience is more active. Follow the commands. And he did that. We can imagine that for Joseph to obey, it was hard. Mary just had to say, "Okay, whatever happens, happens." But Joseph had to take steps. He had to take steps to be married. He had to take steps to accept. He had to take steps to explain to people. He had to take a lot of steps. When we talk to Mary, it's very easy to idealize her. We look at her and we say, "Oh, wow, she just submitted to God." But I believe that Mary had help. Because it's not easy for a virgin, and we, from what we know in tradition, she may only be 15 or 16 years old. I believe that Elizabeth was a big help for her. Now remember in Mary's story, she was pregnant, and the angel said, "Here's one confirmation. Your cousin, whom it was said could not bear a child, is now 6 months pregnant." Remember that story. And so for Mary, there was help to be able to help her to see what God is doing. You know, sometimes for us, it's not as easy as to say, "God tells you one thing, okay, no problem, I follow God." No, sometimes it's just very hard, because we go through difficult times, and it's in those difficult times where we need other people. That's why I've said very often, Christianity is not an individual religion. It's not an individual faith. Many other religions you worship by yourself. You go your own time. It's between you and the deity that you are worshiping. But there's no community except for Christianity. And this is a very good example for Mary, why she needed community. All of a sudden, something very big was happening in her life. She says, I submit. But what does that mean on a day-to-day basis? She has to submit 9 months. And in 9 months, endure all those questions that people are going to ask, people are going to criticize, people are going to say, you're an unclean woman. All of those times, God provided a cousin that would be able to support her. Remember when she visited Elizabeth, Elizabeth said those famous words, you are blessed among women, and blessed is the fruit that is in your womb. And that's the confirmation that she needed. You know, when we go through difficult times, it's much better that we're able to go through it with people who understand what we're going through. We need each other in this community. There are no solo Christians. I talk to some believers and they tell me, I don't want to go to any church. So what do? My church is YouTube. You know, and one good friend told me, he said, you know, on YouTube, he was watching these sermons, right? And he says, I learned in 1 year what I would learn 10 years when I go to a physical church. The teaching may be true. That may be true for teaching. But 1 year sitting along with people or trying to get along with people that are very hard to get along with is actually worth 10 years of your discipleship. You know, when we as function as a community, it's not that easy. It's not like, I'm sure some of you at Christmas parties with relatives where you have 30, 40 relatives, there's always this uncle or this aunt that you don't like to talk to. But you see them once a year, that's enough, right? You say hi, but then you say hi walking away. But in a church community, you can't do that. I remember many, many years ago, a friend of mine who was a pastor was relating this story. He was a pastor of a small church in one of the provinces in the Philippines. And he was telling me all the problems that he was having as a small town pastor. And he said, you know, I encourage people to come to prayer meeting. And one guy said to me, his exact words, he said, Pastor, tell me my friend, I cannot say amen with this guy, so I can't go to the prayer meeting. Well, wait a minute. Something's wrong there. It is in community that we learn how to be a Christian. That could be unfortunate, but it's also a blessing because we do need each other. And I see that for people who are not part of small groups, people who are not part of any community, you walk alone. Very difficult to survive walking alone. I believe the convergence of these three stories, the story of Zechariah and Elizabeth, the story of Mary, and the story of Joseph, all converge as a community. First of all, Zechariah receives this visit from the angel. He goes home, silent, but this miracle happens. And after 6 months, Mary, who receives the visit from the angel, goes to Elizabeth to visit her, and she sees this miracle actually happening with her cousin. And then Joseph, who was told that she is now pregnant, that his wife, his engaged wife is now pregnant, is watching all this stuff together as part of a community. Church, a church is community. There's no way Christian faith is an individual faith. Any other religion is possible to be by yourself. If you were Buddhist, you go to a temple by yourself and you say your prayers and that was it. If you're Muslim, you worship as a community. We visited a Muslim worship one time as part of a project. But the worship is individual. Any other religion is all individual, except for Christianity. And as we look at, moving forward, we'll look at the book of Ephesians, we will see how the body functions together. Suffice it to say, at the end of the year, I want to encourage all of you. Some of you are still not in groups. I know sometimes you feel like, and people tell me, oh, I'm not learning, you know, stuff. Yes, I can understand that. But the community is what is important. And the encouragement that we see in this story of Zechariah, of Mary, and Joseph shows us that. Sometimes we will be called to submit. And in your submission, we who are watching you will help you go through that. Sometimes we're called to obey, and we in the community will encourage you. When we were going through this last year, this whole year of difficulty for our for my family, one of the things that we treasured very much was how the community, the church community, all of you, helped us. There were expressions of love, gifts, there were calls, there were emails. Even though we were 8,000 miles away in Manila, we would shoot prayers to you guys and you guys would pray for us. And that was very, very helpful for us. We could not have survived just on our own, because where do we grasp? It's not just us and God. It's us, God, and the community. Sometimes you will be called to submit to difficulties, but your community will help walk you through. Sometimes you will be called to obey. Your community will be there to help you through. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for these stories that come from the birth of Jesus. Because it's not just about the miracle of the Son of God coming in human flesh, but it is also stories of submission to you and obedience to you. May these be stories that help us and encourage us to work together as a community. We thank you, Lord, for your love and grace. 2018, and as we look forward and anticipate 2019, may we learn to live a life worthy of the calling of which you've called us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand.